I want you to open your Bible to the Acts of the Apostles, if you will, please. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. There is a statement in this verse that is of utmost importance, right in the center almost of the verse. This is talking about Stephen, who was selected or elected by the early church. We call him as a deacon. He was actually selected or elected to wait on tables, and after all, he was a helper, and the Greek word translated deacon means a helper. And the Word of God tells us that he was full of the Holy Ghost, but remember this, that all of these seven men were full of the Holy Ghost. It states that he was also full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Being full of the Holy Ghost and faith, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And then he preached to them. And the Word of God said here, you know, because these folks who were Jews, of course, gnashed their teeth upon him. They stoned him to death, and he became the first martyr. And so this is talking about his death in this verse. He being full of the Holy Ghost. That's a good way to die, bless God. Full of the Holy Ghost. Looked up into heaven. Looked up steadfast into heaven. And saw something. What did he see? He saw the glory of God. Did you ever see the glory of God? That's what I'm going to talk to you tonight about, is the glory of God. I've seen it more than once. I've seen it just like Stephen did here. I'll talk to you about it in a minute. But I want to go as fast as I can go just to give you a multitude of scriptures so that you can get a clear picture. And then I'm going to state scriptural facts first, many facts. And then I'm going to give some personal experiences. And then I'm going to give you some things that the Lord said to me that's going to happen. And I know you want to get in on it. So I got a message hot off of the wire tonight. I'm going to rattle your cage as sure as the world. You know what I mean by that expression? Well, just hang around. You'll find out what it is. All right, let's start way back over here in the book of Exodus and come on through the Bible real quickly. See what the Bible said about the glory of God. Let's start with the 16th chapter of Exodus, the 7th verse. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of God. Moses is talking to the children of Israel. And he said, in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of God. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? Now the 10th verse. And it came to pass, this is the next morning now. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Now turn to the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus, the 29th chapter, and we'll look at the 43rd verse. 29th chapter, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Now then turn right on over to the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus. I'm going as fast as I can now because I've got a lot of scripture. Exodus, the 40th chapter, the 34th and 35th verses. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter, I want you to remember that, enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now turn to the book of Leviticus, the 9th chapter of the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 9, notice verse 4. also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. Now how did he appear? The sixth verse. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Now look at verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Now turn to the book of Numbers, the very next book in the Bible, the book of Numbers. And this look first in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers and the 10th verse. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now then notice the 16th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 16, we'll look at verse 19 first, and then verse 42. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Now verse 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Now then, turn to the 20th chapter of Numbers. The Numbers, the 20th chapter and the 6th verse. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Now then, turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. 1 Kings, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now then turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We shall read verses 11 through verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not then wait by course. And the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now turn to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And we shall read verse 4. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, Now, this is Isaiah's vision of God's glory. You'll probably need to read verse 1, 2, and 3. Well, maybe we should read them. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I want you to hold that in your mind. Now turn to Isaiah the 35th chapter. Isaiah the 35th chapter. And here actually you see Isaiah is really prophesying. And he's really talking about the joyful flourishing of Christ's kingdom, the church, bless God. And really, to get all of what he's saying, you ought to read the whole 35th chapter. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the 8th verse says, and a highway shall be there, and a way that shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. He's talking about the way of salvation here, brother. Praise God. I just wanted to establish a fact. I'm going on. Isaiah the 58th chapter. Isaiah chapter 58. And this look at the 8th verse. Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Again here, this is promises given by God that belong to the church. Isaiah is really prophesying. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Now look at the 59th chapter and the 19th verse. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against it. Now notice we're seeing what the glory of the Lord is. It's the Spirit of the Lord. Get that. Praise God forevermore. Now then, turn on over to Isaiah the 60th chapter, please. Isaiah the 60th chapter. And really this is talking about the glorious access of the Gentiles into the church. And he said, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And on down he goes. We'll not read further. That's enough for you to see what he's talking about. Now then, go with me to the book of Ezekiel, please. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 23. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there. The glory of the Lord stood there. As the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Well, now go back to see what this glory was he saw back over in that he referred to. It stood out there on the plain. The glory stood there. Well, back here in Ezekiel 1:28, he tells you about that. that here that the Lord appeared unto him. He said, as the appearance of the bow, talking about the rainbow, that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Now get this. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up on thy feet, and I will speak with thee. And the Spirit entered into me. And when he spake unto me, and set me on my feet, then I heard him that spake unto me. Now then, turn right on over here. In Ezekiel to the 8th chapter and the 4th verse. 8th chapter and the 4th verse. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there according to the vision that I saw in the plain. He talks about what he saw in the plain. The glory of God stood there, he said. Like I saw it over there by the book Chebar. Now here's another experience that he had over here, and the glory was there according to the vision he had in the plain. He saw the glory of God. Now look at Ezekiel, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. The glory of the Lord went up and stood. And the house was filled with the cloud. And the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. The court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Now right here in Ezekiel, turn right on over please to Ezekiel the 43rd chapter. Ezekiel chapter 43. We'll read verse 2, verse 4, and verse 5. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined. Now get that. Shined with his glory. Verse 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. Verse 5. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now look at Ezekiel, the 44th chapter, and the 4th verse. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And I fell on my face. Now then, let's come over to the New Testament. That's not all of them in the Old Testament. That's not near all of them. But that's enough of them to establish something. Now let's come and see if there's anything about it in the New Testament. Did the glory just belong to them? Are they just the ones that could see it or have it manifested? All right, Matthew the 17th chapter. We'll start in with Matthew and just go through to Revelation. Matthew the 17th chapter. After first verse, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. White. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, so that's Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, now see, this is happening in the New Testament. When they heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now turn to Luke's gospel. Oh, here's something we missed, and we've read it, we've said it by heart, we've heard it again and again, and every little Sunday school child can quote it. But we miss something here. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, this you know is the birth of Christ, that is the tidings thereof brought to the shepherds. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord did what? Shone around about them. They saw it, and they were so afraid. Now, turn on over here to this 7th chapter of Acts where we were, where we started now. Acts, the 7th chapter. And let's not just only read that verse, but let's read another verse here. The 7th chapter of Acts. You see, this is the preaching of Stephen here. He's preaching to these Jews there in Jerusalem. And he said, second verse, he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory." Did you know God's a God of glory? Yeah, he is. "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charon." Now then, it said here, when they stoned Stephen, and he looked up into heaven, he saw the glory of God. Now then, turn to Acts, the 9th chapter. And we see here Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You know what that was? It was the glory of God. You can see that from all these other scriptures, how it shined. "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now turn on over to the 22nd chapter of Acts. The 22nd chapter of Acts. And let's read Paul's own account of this, because it's real interesting. The 6th verse of the 22nd chapter of Acts. Paul is reciting, declaring, you see, his conversion, bearing witness before kings, King Agrippa and Felix, you know. The 6th verse, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." Now look at the 11th verse. "And when I could not see..." You see, when he got up after he fell down there and heard Jesus speak to him, "when I could not see for the glory..." There's that word glory again. "I couldn't see for the glory of the light." Amen. "Being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus." Now, turn over to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Oh, I think maybe I'll start reading with the first verse. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father." I didn't know that was in there till yesterday. I read the New Testament through 150 times and portions of it more than that. Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Did you know it? That's what it said. Well, what is the glory of the Father? Turn over to the 8th chapter of Romans, the 11th verse, it'll tell you. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," it's the Spirit. "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now turn over to Revelation. Let's just read about it in the end of the Bible. We can see his glory all the way through, spoken of. Now, Revelation 15:8. "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. and no man was able to enter into the temple. Hallelujah. Now turn over here to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And I want you to see something now. I want you to see why this man Stephen, when he died, saw the glory of God. 21st chapter of Revelation, 22nd verse. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. For the glory of God did lighten it. Now I want you to notice, through all of these scriptures that we read to you, this thought concerning the glory of God. These words in connection with it. Glory, cloud, brightness, smoke, white, bright, shone, and glistening. Every single one of those words were used in connection with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now you see in the Old Testament, and I've got me some new sermons. I couldn't preach it tonight. I couldn't preach everything I got in a week. I'll call it the Glory Series. Ain't nobody else got this. I mean, it's in the Word, but I'll call it the Glory Series. It'll take me several hours to get it all out that I've got. The Lord's been pouring it into me, and I'm going to pour it out to you. But I just want to cover a part of it here tonight. You see, lately the Lord instructed me to do something. Well, I say instructed me just like He does everybody else by an inward intuition, an inward witness, that's the leading of the Spirit, to look into this. Things happen to us and sometimes we don't know what it is. But now my first experience along this line of seeing the glory of God was the 16th day of August of 1934. In the north bedroom of 405 North College Street in the city of McKinney, Texas. I'd been sick and afflicted all my life, but I'd become bedfast in the month of April of 1933. I said 34, 1933, I'd become bedfast. And I'd been on that bed the rest of April, May, and June, July, and now over into about the 16th day of August. And I didn't have the light that I have now about prayer and faith and healing. I learned that on the bed of affliction eventually. But I knew all that day that I was dying. It was the temperature had got to be 106 degrees that day. Now in August of 1933. We didn't have air conditioning in those days, you remember. All folks had was a little fan that'd blow a little air around. We didn't even have a fan. But it's so hot, it's 106 degrees was the official temperature for that day. And yet I was so cold that they took hot water bottles, heated bricks, and wrapped them in blankets to put around my body to try to warm me up. And I was covered up with blankets and covered up at 106 degrees to try to keep my body warm because I was cold all over. Just as cold as ice. And a cold, damp dew of sweat upon my brow. And I used to wouldn't tell these things, but the Lord in recent time told me to tell it, and I'll tell you why He told me when I get to the end of it here. And so, at 1:30 in the afternoon, somebody was by my bedside because I was at the point of death. The doctor said somebody stay with him every moment because he can die any second. And my youngest brother, 9 years of age, was there, and my heart stopped. And I said to him, Pat, go get Mama quick. I want to tell her goodbye. I'm dying. And he ran out of the room like a shot. And when he left that room, I died. I left my body. I went up. See, Stephen looked up, and I saw the glory of God. The glory of God filled that whole room. You say, what did it look like? I didn't know all these scriptures in the Bible. I didn't even know this in the Bible till yesterday. There all the time to substantiate my experience. That whole room lit up. Brighter than the sun shining, dazzling on snow. Fill that room. And I saw the glory, that's the glory of God. That's all, we're all going into that when we die. If you don't see it in this life, which I'm of the opinion you're going to see it, you may see it tonight. But you'll see it then. If you don't see it now, you'll see it then. If you're a Christian, you'll see it. Because over there in that city, bless God, it's the glory of God that lightens it. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening? Well, you see God back there in at the time of Israel. Let that glory come down here where they could see it there in the tabernacle. It's like a cloud. Or it's a brightness. That whole room was lit up. Now then, in teaching on the radio about the inward man departing at death to be with the Lord, if you're a Christian, and what it means to believe with the heart, which is the spirit of man, this inward man is the spirit, I recited on the Dallas radio station that we are on, just like the same messages you've heard here. And my mother, who was yet alive, she went home to be with the Lord 2 years ago. It will be this fall at 80 years of age. And so she said to me, she heard me on the radio, and then when I was visiting her, she said to me, son, because I'd never told that part of it. It was too sacred for me to talk about for years, you see, because that happened 41 years or 42 years ago almost. And so she said, son, there's a part to that that you'd be interested in that you don't know about. See, I just told what I saw. That I went up into that glory and saw it and got a peek over into the glory land. Didn't want to come back. But I heard a voice say, go back. Go back. Go back to the earth. You can't come yet. Your work on earth's not done. And I came back down, slipped inside my body like a man that slipped inside his foot inside of his boot in the morning time. And then when I did, I realized that Mama was there in the room holding my hand in her hand and stooped over me. And she said, and I said, Mama, I'm not going to die now. She thought, I'm not going to die now this minute. I'm not going to die now. I'm going to live and do the work of God. But Mama said, see, I just recited my side of it. Mama said, son, there's another side to that story. Let me tell you, you will appreciate this. She said, you see, Pat, my youngest brother, come running back to the kitchen crying out, Mama, Mama, Granny, Granny, come, Ken's dying. And so said, we rushed out of the kitchen and up the hall and into the dining room and then into this bedroom, you see. Now, she said, I was closer to the hall door than Mama, her mama, my grandmother. We always called her Granny. And so she said, I went up this hall, turned into this door into the dining room, then another door immediately went into my bedroom. Now, these doors were open, you see. The door shutter was laying back against the wall, just the opening there. And so she said, I ran up there to the door that went into your room. You see, there wasn't anything there. The door swung wide open, just an opening there, just like where that tent's rolled up there. And I run up there and run up against something and just bounced off of it. That whole room was full of the glory. Just bounced off of it like you bounced off of a rubber ball. And said, I realized that there was a presence in that room. And I backed back in reference to that presence. I didn't know what was going on in there. She said you came back down to a few minutes. It was 10 minutes before we could get in the room. 10 minutes, she said. She said, my mother, you see, her mother, said she ran up there. And she did the same thing, just bounced back, just like you'd bounced off of a rubber. We could not see into the room. We could not see your bed. We could not see your body. The whole room was full of something. To us, it didn't look like it did to me. To me, it was bright. To them, it was just, they just couldn't see through it, like a cloud. It wasn't bright and shining like it was to me. It was just like a cloud filled the room, like a dense fog. And so she said, your granny ran 3 times, just back halfway across the dining room, and ran up there, and just bounced back like she'd hit a rubber ball. She got all the way across the dining room to the wall on the other side, and ran, and just bounced back off of it. And it was 10 minutes. She said, whatever it was, it's so powerful that at the third time that granny, mama, she called her mother, and I just hung on to the door facing to keep them falling. You see here when it was manifested again and again, they fell. You see that here in the Bible, didn't it? You see that in the New Testament. You see that there on the Mount of Transfiguration when that glory came down there. And if you'll read the account over there, which I didn't read it in another one of the Gospels there. Well, I read it in Matthew's Gospel. I should have read it in Luke's possibly. But it said that they, Peter and James and John, entered into that cloud. It enveloped them. That was the glory of the Lord. Now then, that was my first experience. Then I was healed because I believed God and began to preach as a Southern Baptist. Not a wild-eyed Pentecostal, but a Southern Baptist. I don't mean that wrong now, but I just, because some people think if folks are Pentecostal, well, they're emotional and far-fetched. I wasn't Pentecostal. And Pentecostal people as a whole are not emotional and far-fetched as these people that are emotional in every church. Are you listening to me? But I was a Southern Baptist pastor and preaching the gospel in the year of 1936. Now, I was not baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues till 1937. But I was preaching Sunday night in my Baptist church, reading as a community church, on the subject, "What is your life's eat and vapor and appear for a little time and then vanish away?" And right in the middle of my sermon while I was preaching, I saw that same glory that I saw when I left my body and went up to heaven. I saw it come rolling in like a cloud. You notice that expression all through here? Cloud, smoke. Look like smoke sometime. It was the glory of the Lord, it said. It come rolling in from the back. And just engulfed that whole crowd. I couldn't see a person out there. I was engulfed in that cloud. I heard myself preach, but heard the sound of my voice. Didn't distinguish a word. Don't know one word it said the last half of my sermon. That was a manifestation of His presence. That was the glory of God. That was an invasion from another world. Praise God. The glory world. And so I said to some of them after, the last half of my sermon, was it all right? Yeah. Well, I said that, because I didn't know what it said. Didn't know one word it said. Didn't know whether it matched up with the rest of the sermon or whether it started preaching something else. See, God didn't know one word He said. I was in that cloud. They said, "Oh, yes, yes, it just fit in perfectly." Finally, I said, "Was there any difference in the last half of my sermon than the first half?" Well, they said, "What do you mean?" Well, I said, "Could you detect any difference?" Well, the only thing is, He said, "It didn't look like you. Your face shone like an angel's. It didn't look like you." Well, the glory was on me. Praise God forevermore. Well, I was preaching then. In 1941, the war had started, you see. Just started. We got into it over there, you see. In with Japan, you know. And it don't get real cold in December way down deep in East Texas like it does up here, you see. We had some, it'll get cold, but we had some nice day. And I was out preaching on the street with my PA system. And I was preaching on the subject way back in December of 41 that Japan is doomed. They'll be whipped. You know how I knew? I got it down in the Bible. That's how I knew. Knew they'd get whipped. Knew exactly how it'd come. I got it down in the Bible. Preached it to them. See? My title was, I hit this town because I'd held several street meetings. And I hit this town about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The country people's all going home. But I drove around the PA system and played a little record, a religious singing. And made the announcement, Japan is doomed. Japan is doomed. Japan is doomed. Hear about it. Come down to the market square. Man, it looked like everybody left town and come down there. Just like a parade on, you see. Amen. And I was preaching on Japan is doomed. I got about 20 minutes through my sermon. And that cloud come down on me. And I preached for I don't know how long, actually. In that, I don't know one word is said because it enveloped me. When it lifted, there wasn't, as far as I could see, there nobody had a dry eye. And I said, everybody don't know Jesus, wants to know Him, step up here. And 12 grown men stepped right up there with tears, just a sobbing like their hearts would break around that microphone and found Jesus. I was preaching on the streets then in 1944. In Grand Saline, Texas, holding a meeting there for a pastor of the First Assembly of God Church. And we had a street meeting on Saturday afternoon to advertise a meeting. And that come on me again. And I preached for nearly an hour. And don't know till this day one single word I said. That anointing just came down, or that power just came down like a cloud. Like a cloud. Now, I haven't said a lot about it. But I'm going to, and you'll find out in just a few moments why. But through the years, I've been on the field ministry since 1949. But many has been the time that I've seen that come into the meeting, sometimes just like a vapor of smoke. The other afternoon, I spoke last Saturday afternoon here, and I got so drunk on the Spirit, I couldn't get off. I could see it here, just like a vapor of smoke up here on the platform. And recently in some meetings, some people have seen it. It's the glory of the Lord. That's what it is. Now, since I began to minister with the anointing of healing way back in 1950, and then I've said to you how that the Lord 1970 had dealt with me and said, if you'll obey me and do what I tell you to do, that stronger anointing to come on you. Four times over in a 20-year period, everybody I touched fell under the power. And if you'll obey me, that stronger anointing will come on you to abide. And I did, and he did, and it did. But now in the last four years, since 1970, almost five now, there have been several times, more than once, that we had folks all lined up around the front. And you see, I decided the Spirit led me to look into the Bible so I'd have Bible proof of what's happening here. And we had them all lined up. First time it happened was down there in Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And I started in this end of the line. If you could imagine as many people as we'd have lined up from one end of this rug to the other one here. And I started down on one end, except they sort of curved around this way, you see. And I started laying hands on them, and everybody I touched fell out of the pine. I got in front of the pulpit, and I saw this cloud moving in. Sometimes it'll just come floating in like a cloud and stand in a certain place. Now, you see here, it said the glory of the Lord stood there, it said. Then it calls that glory a cloud, doesn't it? See? And I saw this cloud coming in. And when it does, I always do that. I got back up on the platform behind the pulpit, and I looked at these people. I like to prove things out. And I couldn't see a one of them that had their eyes open, so it couldn't be psychological. Now, when this cloud got over their heads, I waved my arm that way, and they all went down like dominoes. Not a one of them. I didn't touch a one of them. They just all fell like dominoes. Now, you see here, again and again, it speaks about they fell on their face. They fell on their face. I fell as a dead man when that cloud came in, you see. Then again, I was preaching the First Assembly of God Church in Pasadena, Texas, for Reverend Mrs. J.R. Goodwin. He pastored there till he was 75 years of age. And I had the same thing to happen again. I'd laid hands on a few of the folks, and suddenly that cloud came rolling in. And I just waved my hand. Everybody I waved at, down they went. Just down they went. And many a time that'll come in. A lot of time, not just more than once when I'm laying hands on people, I'll see that. A lot of times I'll step out of it. If I don't, I'll go right down with all of them. And sometimes the boys are helping folks and helping to, you know, these folks that are falling. They'll all go down too. Everybody, if you get in that cloud, you'll all go down. Now somebody said, what's the purpose of all that? Let me take you to a familiar scripture and show you something, bless God, that you didn't see before. I guarantee you didn't see it before. Turn to the Acts of the Apostles in the second chapter and see Peter preaching from Joel's prophecy. And see what Peter said here. Thus saith the Lord, he's quoting Joel. In the last days I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams. Amen. Now then, notice this thing. And he went on to say, now this is something God's going to do, see. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth. Now what are the signs that he's going to show in the earth? Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now you see, you take that out of the setting and think, now that's bombs are falling, people being killed and blood. That wouldn't be God doing that. He's never killed anybody yet. He's not a murderer. That'd be something man's doing. God said, I'll do it. That has no reference whatsoever. My brother and sister, to people being killed in war or bombs are falling. Are you listening to me? This is something that God said, I will do. I will do in the earth. Well, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He said, I'm come not to kill or to steal or to destroy. That wasn't why he came. I'm come that you might have life. This is something God's going to do. The signs that God has put in this earth concerning his presence is blood, the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Fire, the Holy Ghost is fire. There appeared tongues of fire and sat upon each of them. Read the history of the church world as a whole, particularly the Pentecostal movement. And right here in America. Right here in America, in a tent meeting, not just one mini tent meeting, just like this. People could see fire all over the top of the tent and call the fire department to put the fire. Everybody in town saw the fire. That's a sign. God said, I'll do signs like that. And it's happening in this day. Just here a while back down in our part of the country, it happened. Understand, they called the fire department out there. Said the whole top of the church is on fire. They got out there, wasn't no fire at all. And sinners saw it. God said, these are signs God said I'll do in the earth, didn't he? I'll do it. That isn't something that bombs are falling, people being killed, and vapor of smoke. No. That's the power of God. It'll be so real that it'll look like smoke in the building. You see the smoke, the glory of the Lord, and it calls it smoke filled the house. And it looks that way sometimes. Looks just exactly that way sometimes. Now, why are you saying this, Brother Hagin? Well, now, something that we've sort of missed. God said he'd do. And you know what? If you expect him to do it, he'll do it. Now, God said to me, you see, why did God deal like he did with Israel? They were spiritually dead. Are you listening? He had to appeal to them through their physical senses because they had no spiritual perception. And so it had to be something that they could see. So the glory of the Lord came down and filled the tabernacle and filled the temple. It was a cloud. When they dedicated Solomon's temple, remember, the presence of God moved in there, and it was a cloud. It was called the glory of the Lord. It was called a cloud. They could all see that cloud. It was like smoke. It was bright sometimes and shined, and other scriptures we read said glistened. Hallelujah to Jesus. Isn't that right? And people saw it with their eyes. Are you listening to me now? Now then, the Lord said to me some time ago, said something to me, way back in January of 1939, and in recent time he said to me, it's time for that to come to pass. Isn't that something? God would say something to you 35, 36 years ago, and now you know it's time for it to come to pass. And that's the reason you need to be careful. If God, you thought God said something to you, don't go off and tell it. You may think it's coming to pass tomorrow, and it may be 25 years before it comes. Because you see, in the spirit world, there's no such thing as time. Are you listening to me? One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Isn't that right? I remember, you see, my wife and I were married in November of 1938. Now, we're talking about January, 2 months later. January of 1939. We're holding a revival meeting in a full gospel church in Black Land of North Central Texas. Now, my wife is of a Methodist background. I, a Baptist. And 4 days after we were married, she didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but as we prayed in that old Methodist home, the Lord said, lay your hand on your wife and I'll fill her with the Holy Ghost. So I laid my hand on her, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, spoke in other tongues for an hour and a half. But she's new in Pentecostal circles, and of course she don't know it, but I am too. I've just been in a little longer than her. And so we were preaching this revival meeting, and great things were happening. Signs. You ever stop to think about an Acts of the Apostles? It tells you about healings, but then it just calls them signs and wonders were wrought by the hands of the apostles. What were those signs and wonders? It doesn't say what they were. It tells you about when the healings took place, and there's signs too, but it talks about signs and wonders taking place. Now, this pastor that we were preaching for was like a former Baptist pastor. Our minister, and he'd received the baptism of the Ghost, married a Baptist school teacher while he was a full gospel pastor, and then got her filled with the Spirit, and this is new to her. And then his younger brother, who was just 17 years of age and felt called to the ministry starting out, he came to visit, and we had some supernatural things happen. Not just people being healed, not them just being baptized the Holy Ghost and being saved. Those things are all supernatural, but we had some signs. For instance, one young lady came one night, a 60-year-old girl, just a little girl, little to her age, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke the other tongue. Then her spirit of travail and compassion came upon her, and she began to stand there before God and intercede with tears. And she stood like a statue for 8 hours and 40 minutes with her hands up and never batted an eye, blinked an eye. And her mother's quite concerned about her because there's only one stove in this church building over in the center of the room, and she's way over here, and it's cold. It got cold there in January, this part of Texas, and she said to the pastor, would it be all right to move her over close to that stove? And so the pastor said to me, brother, ask me. And I said, I don't know. I never saw anything like it before. He said, brother, she's 60 years old, but she's wasn't any bigger than a 13-year-old, really. And said, you get under one elbow because her hands were uplifted. Now I'll lift her under the other. We'll just scoot her over the stove. And we couldn't budge her off of the floor. She's like she's nailed to the floor. So the pastor, he weighed 250 pounds. He recognized there's some power involved here, so he just backed off and we left her alone. She came out of that the next morning, 20 minutes to 9 o'clock, and danced in the spirit, and went on to high school, and never missed, never slept, never ate, never felt any better in her life, she said. Now, Here in this home, we just had a night service. The pastor, my wife and I stayed in the parsonage with the pastor and his wife, and now the younger brothers come to visit. And we would pray at 10 o'clock in the morning for our services. Every morning have a special prayer meeting. So we were praying there one morning, and I was kneeling over by the divan in the living room of this parsonage. And the Lord said to me, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, go and just touch with your finger your wife's forehead, sister so-and-so, the pastor's wife's forehead, and this young brother's forehead. I didn't know what was going to come of it, what he meant by it. I just got up, went over where they were praying, touched my wife on the forehead with that finger, and she flattened out on her back like you'd hit her in the head with an axe. She fell. Well, when the glory was here, you saw again and again, it said they fell. Somebody said, I don't understand folks falling. I know they don't fall my church. If you had any glory there, they would. Amen. Amen. Are you following me? Then I laid the same finger on the pastor's wife. And she just flattened out, flat of her back. They were kneeling in prayer, but they flattened out, stretched right out, flat of their back like you'd hit them in the head with a baseball bat. Same way with the younger brother. I went back over there and knelt down by the divan to see if he'd give me any further directions. Some people are waiting to do something till God tells them what to do. He'll never tell you the whole story. If you did, you'd be walking beside it, not by faith. He'll just give you a little bit. You've got to have enough faith to head that direction. If you'll head that direction, then he'll just do a whole heap for you. You understand that kind of language? Amen. Well, I knelt there for a while. Now, I didn't know, because I get caught up in the glory. I get caught up here ministering to the sick. People ask me about what happened. I said, I don't know what happened. You think I'm looking at you sometime, and not at all. Don't even see you. And you say, well, he looked right at me. Well, I didn't. If I did, I didn't know it. Because the more I can get into the glory and into the spirit and into the power, the more happens, because that's what causes it to happen. Can you see that? Well, the pastor told me afterwards, 250-pound man, he said, I said to myself, I'll get my wife up out of that floor. Now, see, they're lying there with their flat, you see, their arms right flat on the floor, their body right flat on the floor and their back. He went over there, 250-pound, and picked up his wife's right hand to pick up her arm to lift her up out of the floor. And he said, I couldn't even pick up her hand. 250-pound, I couldn't get her hand off the floor. I pulled and I tugged and strained myself. And a 250-pound, and couldn't even lift up her arm, much less lift her up. And I said, well, there's something going on here and I don't know about. So he said, I didn't know what he'd done, because I was lost in the spirit. He said, I just backed off over there and leaned up against the door face and watched it. And I knelt over, I don't know how long, I didn't look at the watch then. If I have my physical, my faculties, I look a lot of times just to see when something happens so I can tell you when it happened. Amen. But it seemed to me like it must have been 10 minutes. I don't think it was, but a time like that, a few seconds, it seemed like a long time. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, go stand or kneel beside each one of them and ask them, whisper into their ear and ask them, do you acknowledge that this is the power of God? That is not just what happened to them, but what's happening in these meetings, you see. So I said that to my wife. She said, yes, I acknowledge the power of God. I said that to the pastor. Yes, I acknowledge the power of God. I said that to the young man. Yes. I didn't know, you see, but they all three were questioning in their minds. You know, they didn't know. They didn't know. I didn't either, but I wasn't questioning. Is this right? Is this the power of God? And so I went back over there and knelt down by the couch to see if he'd say anything else to me. And after a while, he said, go touch them with your finger again. When I touched them, they were loose and they could get up. They couldn't get up till then. Now, God said to me, in more recent time, now there will be such manifestations of these that will come into prominence in these last days. Because you see, men are spiritually dead. Sinners are spiritually dead. See what I mean? God has to go through their senses, physical senses, to get through to them. And he said he'd show signs in the earth beneath. This is something God's going to do, not somebody dropping an atomic bomb on somewhere and blood flowing and there'd be a great fire and you see the smoke going up. God didn't do that. He never dropped a bomb on anybody. Are you listening to me? Or killed any little children and mamas and babies? Did you know God didn't do that? Never. I said never. No, this isn't that at all. This is talking about a sign. Sign. He said a sign in the earth that'll come because of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. There's something there we miss, boys. You can just mark it down in your little book if you know how to write. If you don't, make an X by it. Because it's so. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Now he said to me, these things are coming to pass in these last days. I've got to do a work quickly. Time is coming to the end. Satan is going about as never before to deceive people because he knows his time is short. But God's going to display his glory. Hallelujah. He's going to display his glory. Men are going to see. You mark my word. I see it quite frequently. But whole tent full of people. You hear me? Like this, they're going to see that cloud. Everybody will see it come rolling right in. You know what that cloud is? That's the same cloud that we're going to be caught up in when Jesus comes. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. He's coming in the cloud. Not those clouds up there. That's not the clouds he's coming in. Amen. Jesus is coming in the cloud. Not those clouds up there. No. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds, in the glory. And you see, it won't make any difference whether you're dead or whether you're alive. When you die, you go into that glory. I've been over there in the glory. Old David said, thou wilt guide me with thine eye and will afterwards receive me to glory. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. But you see, God just sends a little heaven down here on earth for us to go to heaven in. You mark my word. There will be physical manifestation. You see, as signs, men will stand for days, women will stand for days like statues under the power of God. Are you listening to me? People will fall. You talk about people falling here. You wait till God starts raising them up. Amen. Under the power of God. And that cloud will come in. It'll come into a service like this, and everybody that's in the cloud and under it will fall. Peter, James, and John, that on the Mount Transfiguration, they fell on their faces. When they entered into the cloud, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. The presence of God will be made manifest, even in this area, to attract attention unto the power of God and unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the outshining of God. How are you listening to me? Praise God forevermore. And they will be signs, various signs, in the physical sense. I'm not talking about signs of healing. Yes, thank God for that. And miracles of this area. But over here in this other area. And people today by the glory of God. Now what do you think about that? When old Philip, you know, went out of the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And after he had preached unto them, you know, the word of God tells us that God sent him down there to preach to one man. And he got that Ethiopian saved, bless God, and the Spirit of God called him away. You know what happened? The Spirit of God, we've already recognized that and proved that by Romans 6:4 and Romans 10:8-11, that's the glory of God. The glory called him away. He just went sailing away through the glory. The glory came down and enveloped him. Praise God. And he is found just in a moment over somewhere else. And that's going to happen. You mark my word that I told you is going to happen right here in the United States of America. Now, when's all this going to start happening? I'll tell you, we're on the verge of it right now. Praise God. We're going to step over into it the fall of this year right here. I can't hardly wait. I can't hardly wait till it gets here. Yeah. Amen. 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 Amen.